Glad to have you guys with us here, brother. We are in the middle of a sermon series, and it's called Body Talk. And in the middle of this sermon series, we are taking a long look at the body of Christ. We're looking at our local church here, and we're talking about what we stand for and what we're called to do and who we are and what we're called to be in the eyes of God as a local church. We discovered 2 weeks ago that, well, we are part of the whole. We need each other, and that's who we are as the body of Christ. Last week, we talked about that we're a church that's going to dream big and pray hard. We're going to have a big faith about the big things that God wants to do in our lives as individuals, but also as a church. And I was thinking about this whole body talk and looking at the body of Christ. The Bible refers to the church as the body of Christ, the hands and arms and the legs and the feet and the toes, and you're all one of those things. And together we make up this body of Christ called Rolling Plains Church. And I just recall all those times when I was a teenager, even younger than that. I had a full-length mirror on the bedroom door in my bedroom, and I spent a lot of time in front of that mirror. I spent a lot of time in front of that mirror combing all the hair that I had back then, not so much today, and I'd figure out new styles. And when I was done combing my hair, the music would come on, and I'd use the hairbrush as a microphone. Am I talking to some of the right people here today? And then I'd get out the air guitar, and I'd be in there in front of the mirror, and I would just have a blast and a ball. And there's times where I'd looked at myself, and I didn't like what I saw, and I didn't like who I was, or like my nose, or my ears, or my eyes, or the hair, or the way it was. And then there's times where I realized I looked in there, and I'm God's creation. But we spend a lot of time in front of the mirror checking ourselves out. And if you're willing to admit it, even when you're 20-something, 30-something, and 40-something, you spend some extra time every once in a while primping in front of that mirror to try to figure out who you are. And oftentimes we think by what we look like with our outward appearance, we think that's who we are. But yet God has created you to be so much more than an outward appearance. He's created you with an incredible soul that he wants to touch and use and bring together with all of these other souls and make up the body of Christ here at Rolling Plains Church. And this is an exciting place to be. We're going to dive right into Scripture this morning, and we're going to look at John chapter 4, verses 31 to 34, because today we're talking about being spiritual contributors as the body of Christ. It says this, the author writes, "Meanwhile, Jesus' disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' Then his disciples said to each other, 'Couldn't someone have brought him some food?' 'My food,' said Jesus, 'is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" And so while everyone else here is thinking about fill me, feed me, we need to get him some food, we need to eat, he needs to eat, and we do that often. I mean, when we get hungry, we need food. And we fill ourselves, and we think of ourselves to fill our fuel tanks. And if you were at the fair, you got fed. You got fed this week. There was all kinds of food happening at the fair. I mean, just name it. They had funnel cakes. They had deep-fried Oreos. You could get pulled pork sandwiches anywhere, whole chickens. You could even get corn on the cob at one of the fair stands, I heard. I was there a little bit this week, and some of you were too. I mean, just all kinds of goodies. You know what? One of the foods that's out there right now that I'm still trying to figure out and don't get is hummus, okay? There's this like new craze of hummus. Now, I just want to ask you people that have just gone bonkers over hummus, because I guess it's healthy for you, and that's great. And I'll have it every once in a while, but Erin just brings it home in droves and feeds it to the kids, and she loves it. Have you honestly taken a look at what it looks like? It looks like, well, let's just not grow up. The safe thing for me to tell you what it looks like today is it looks like baby food. It looks like baby food, but yet there's this huge hummus craze. And so when it comes to food, we think about feeding ourselves, feeding me. And this is where the disciples are struggling. But Jesus is here to say, what fills me and what nourishes me isn't food. But for me, what fills me and nourishes me is for me to pour myself into the lives of other people. Now, that's huge for us to hear today. He said, what sustains me, what fills me, what satisfies me in life is to pour my life into other people, not focusing on my own needs and desires, but to focus on the needs and the desires of others. By doing the work of God the Father who sent me and to do what he's called me to do. That's what feeds me. Now, the disciples were concerned about the opposite. They were concerned about consumption. They were concerned about consuming and caring for themselves. They were concerned about whether or not they were going to get food to eat and whether or not Jesus was going to get food to eat. Meanwhile, Jesus is concerned not with consuming, but he's concerned with contributing as his nourishment and nourishing him along the way in the life he lived here on earth. And he said, oh, by the way, that's beyond your understanding. He says, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Now, Jesus talks in code from time to time, but what he's saying is we have a problem with our human condition. And our human condition is we don't get it when Jesus says, what sustains me is to serve other people. Because I'm thinking, hey, what serves me and what feeds me is to sit in a restaurant and have somebody serve me some food. And so that's why he says, I have a food that sustains me that you know nothing about. And so we know nothing about it because of our self-centered human nature. We're just born inherently with this DNA in of us to be selfish. And I've used this illustration before. You never have to teach a toddler or a young child to be selfish. It's just naturally a part of who we are. You don't have to teach them that when their toy gets taken from them to throw a fit or a tantrum. You don't have to teach a toddler to say, hey, no, you know what? You're not going to get that lollipop because you weren't functioning the way that you should have functioned in this family, and they throw a fit. We don't have to teach them to do that. Hey, listen, if you want to see that on display, you just spend an entire week at the fair, and you watch these poor kids when it's 87 degrees out. They're being dragged around. They've got a thing of cotton candy in one hand. They've got a toy stuffed animal that they want at the game in the other hand. They're tired and weary, and then they don't get what they want when they come to the corn stand, and they throw a fit. It's just because, you know what? We don't do that just as kids. We do that as adults sometimes. I mean, we still throw a fit when we don't get what we want, when things don't go our way. It's inherent in our DNA. I love that line when Jesus says, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. I raised my hand and said, you know what, Jesus? I don't know anything about it. Please teach me. I need you in my life to look beyond myself. You know when this all started, this human mentality, this human condition to consume and to think about myself and all the things that I need rather than contributing to others' lives, it started in the fast food industry. There was a war back in the 70s that started, and I'll talk about the first combatant. The first combatant was McDonald's, okay? And McDonald's has a burger called the Big Mac. And back in the 70s, early 80s, they would have a song, and you would know what's on the Big Mac by their song, and so we're all going to sing that together. Is Michael ready to lead us in that one here this morning? No, that's right. We'll do it together, all right? And so how does it go? Two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Did you know that you could go anywhere in the world and you order a Big Mac, you get the same thing? I know, because I was in Vietnam back in April and May, and they have a McDonald's there. And the cab that I got in, the cab driver knew exactly where the McDonald's was. Now, I didn't go in there, but a buddy went in there, and he ordered a Big Mac, and he said it had the same thing on it. 12 hours away on the other side of the world. You go to any McDonald's, that Big Mac is going to be the same thing. Now, you want to know what happened in the 70s? A competitor kind of showed up with a different theme. You know who that competitor was? Burger King. They had a different jingle. They decided you could have it your way. You could have it your way. And so their jingle was, and I had to look this up because I actually forgot about it, but it goes, hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. I got a bunch of fast food junkies in here, man. This is awesome. You guys, you either watch a lot of TV or eat a lot of junk food, fast food, or do both. I'm in the same camp with you. But hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. It's a powerful saying. And suddenly we're in control. We're in charge. I can tell you what I want. If I don't want a pickle, I can tell you I don't want a pickle. If I don't want mustard or ketchup, I can tell you I don't want those things. And all of a sudden, we're in charge and we're in control. And 40 years later, we've discovered that the customer is the king. The customer is the king. You know, it's all about the customer. It's all about consuming. You're important. You're our focus. And we've trained society to live with this consumer mentality that it's all about me. It's what I want. And it's my way. That I can have life my way. And sadly enough, this mindset has even bled into the local church. Bled into the local church. You know, you hear people say things like, well, I'm church shopping. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with that saying. But think about the word shopping. Does shopping solicit the idea of contributing? Or does it solicit the idea of consuming? What do we do when we go shopping? We're buying stuff to consume. And so we've even had it creep into our language as church. I'm church shopping. I haven't found a good church yet that's right for me. It's not fitting my needs. It's not feeding me. And if Jesus were here today, he says, listen, I have something that you know nothing about in the way to be able to receive sustenance, to be fed. And that is to serve and meet the needs of other people. And so we've discovered and lived in this consumer mindset for decades. But here at Rolling Plains Church, God is calling us to not be spiritual consumers, but we are called to be spiritual contributors. Amen? We are called not to be, had one person say amen to that. All right, praise God. We here at Rolling Plains Church are not spiritual consumers, but we are spiritual contributors. The church does not exist for us, but we are the church. We are the body of Christ, and because of that, we exist for the world. Our food and our nourishment is something that many people know nothing about or don't understand, and that is to do the work and the will of God. It's not about us. It's about being a Christ follower, and when you're a Christ follower, you follow Christ. Therefore, it's all about Christ, and when you follow Christ long enough, Christ will tell you, it's all about me, and it's all about feeding my sheep. It's all about serving the needs of my people, God's creation. And we find and discover and recognize that we are the church body. We are the body of Christ, and therefore we exist to bring the light and the love of the world, the love of Jesus Christ into the world. And to take an honest look at ourselves. And we want to do that today. Let's just take an honest look at ourselves. And we're going to, you don't have to shout this out, but on a scale of 1 to 10 in your mind, think about your past week and whether you were, how much of a consumer you were or how much of a contributor you were. Now, if you were just a great consumer and not a contributor at all, then you'd be down at number one. Now don't put yourself down at number one because that's where Satan is, all right? And you're not Satan, all right? Look at your neighbor and say, you're not Satan, all right? Now 10 will be, you are the most extreme contributor ever known to humankind this past week. Now you need to understand that none of you are 10s because that's Jesus, okay? And so just keep in mind. So you're going to fall somewhere in between 2 or 9 on the consumer versus contributor scale. So let me help you out when it comes to contributing to the body of Christ. So today you might have walked in and dropped your child off. And when you dropped your child off, there was somebody there to take your child and care for your child while you're here in worship. And at the same time, you went and grabbed a bottle of water, a cup of coffee, or a donut to eat from the Hebrews Cafe. And then when you walked in, you were greeted at the door and someone handed you a bulletin. In other words, you experienced a whole morning of other people serving you. Yet if you look at your connection to Rolling Plains Church, if you were honest, you're not serving anywhere. Not just on Sunday mornings, but anytime during the week. And so you have people that are serving you, but you haven't stepped up and served in any capacity or in any way, shape, or form. So that, if that's you, I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm not sure I'd get a bunch of show of hands on that one. Not asking for a show of hands, but if you be honest, you're probably a 2 or a 3 when it comes to contributing to God's body of Christ here at through Rolling Plains Church. So now let's kind of step it up a little bit. Let's say maybe you've taken a starting point class. You attended a short-term mission trip, and we're a part of that. You give a little bit in the plate from time to time, a little here or there, and that might put you more like a 4 or 5. You might be right in the middle. Now, maybe you're here every single time the door is open, or you serve in several places, or you're praying for the leadership of the church, or you're bringing people to church on a regular basis. You're serving in a local mission. You're tithing, and you're just all in. Then that might put you to a 6 or a 7 or an 8. So if you're honest in your mind, where are you on that scale of 1 to 10 when it comes to being a spiritual contributor and not a spiritual consumer? You see, God wants you, wherever you are, to take you to the next level, to help you take that next step, to be more invested and involved in His body here at Rolling Plains Church. And in order to do that, He wants to stir something within you during this sermon and during this worship experience today to help you step into the greater life that He's calling you, to help you have more sustenance, to have you be more full than you've ever been in your life, because your food is to do the work of God by serving other people, just like Jesus said it was for Him. Now, if you're here for the first time, or you've only been coming around here for a couple of weeks and you're just getting your feet wet here and trying to discover things, or maybe you're just hurting in a big way in your life and you need to come here and just experience some healing and you're not ready to step in and jump in, that's fine. This sermon isn't for you today, but it soon will be. So you still need to pay attention, because one day it'll be the threshold. You've been here a few months. You've been here 4 months, 5 months, and it's time for you to get involved and to use, have God use you in powerful ways. And you're going to heal, and now God's going to use you to help heal other people and get you involved. And so this sermon is still for you, but don't let it beat you up too much, because we want you to come and experience the blessings and the grace of God and figure out where God's calling you and then discover that God wants you to be a part of the body of Christ here. That being said, let's move on today to talking about how God has gifted you to serve in the church and beyond the church. Your gifts for God's work in the church as a follower of Jesus Christ. And the first one would be this: God calls you to serve in His church. Secondly, God calls you to serve as His church. Let's deal with the first one. God calls you to serve in His church. You are gifted and designed and set apart to make a difference in this local church. How do I know this local church? Because you're here today. You're sitting here. Now, unless you're from Rushing Wind Biker Church, then you need to serve there. Now, maybe you're visiting from another church, and this isn't your church home. That's fine. Then you need to serve there. Whatever church you find yourself in is the church that God has equipped you and designed you and set you apart for to make a difference in. Now, you can be an arm or a leg or a hand or an ear or a nose. Now, Christ is the head. Christ is the head of the church, but God has called us to be a part of the body of Christ. Now, the problem with this idea that God has called us to serve in His church is we have a misunderstanding of what church is. You see, we get confused. We think that the church is a building. We think that the church is 4 walls. We think that the church is a steeple or lighting or instruments or a stage or a nice children's room. But what God wants to remind us of is that you are the church. We are the church. The church is the people. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and say, you are the church. and look at your other neighbor and say, you are the church. And now let's all say out loud together, we are the church together. Ready? One, two, three. We are the church together. And that's who we are. We are the church. The church isn't a building, it's a body. The church is the body of Christ. We make up the body of Christ. Therefore, we are the church. And it was amazing when I was in Vietnam in late April and early May, and we were going to visit house churches and to encourage pastors and to train them. 17,000 people have become a part of this house church movement there. Over the course of the last 12 years, they've given their lives to Jesus Christ. God is moving in a big way. And in most cases, they didn't have church buildings. They were meeting in their homes. They were meeting out in the communities. They were meeting in facilities that had nothing to do with looking like a beautiful sanctuary or church building. But yet God was moving in a powerful way. You want to know why? It's because they discovered the key to being God's church in the body of Christ is that they knew that they were the church. No matter where they were, where they met, how they met, and what kind of facility, they were the church. And therefore, they were the hands and feet of Christ to teens in their area, teens that were experiencing poverty and addiction to alcohol and drug use. They got some of the same problems over there that we do here. And so they were ministering to the needs of their culture because they weren't tied down to the mindset that the church is a building. Now, don't get me wrong. I am all for churches owning property and having buildings. But we own property and we worship in this building so that we can gather together in God's power so that we can be released out into the world to make a difference. So if we continue to gather here in God's power, but never take that power outside of this place, then we're missing out on what God is calling us to be as Rolling Plains Church. God wants us to gather together to honor Him, to love Him back by our worship, but to take something that we hear or see or experience in here and take it out with us into our workplace, into our schools, or wherever it is that we are, beyond the walls, so that we can have a touch of Christ in our life to the people that God puts in our path and that we encounter. We are the church so that we can be used by God out into the world. Here's what it says in Romans in chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. The author writes, Paul writes this, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In this grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well, And then Paul goes on to list certain spiritual gifts like serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, kindness, prophecy. Now, this is not the only place in Scripture where he lists off gifts, God does. There are some other places that you can find and lists off other various gifts. But we're just going to talk about these for now. And to give you an example, because some of you are thinking, you know, I don't serve because I don't think I'm any good. I don't serve because I don't think I can contribute. I don't serve because I don't think I'm equipped to. Now, that's baloney, because if you have Jesus in your life, you have the Holy Spirit that's entered your life, and the Spirit empowers you with certain gifts called spiritual gifts that you can only perform because God is in you. Now, you don't have all the spiritual gifts, but we pray that in our local church, by having this large group of people, that we pray that we have all the spiritual gifts covered. But what you probably have is at least one spiritual gift, and probably maybe even a second or even a third. But you won't have all of them because none of us is Jesus. Jesus has all of them. We don't. And so this is why it's important for us to come together as a body of Christ with our spiritual gifts. Now you say, well, how do I know how I'm gifted? How do I know how I'm wired? Now we have a whole class designed around that, and I'm going to point you to that in a minute, but I just want to give you a little illustration that might help you figure out how you're gifted and wired. And oh, by the way, it might help you to help the person sitting next to you because you might have a better idea of how they're gifted and wired than they do themselves. And here's kind of how it goes. I want to talk to you about what happens when a pie falls in somebody's lap that's sitting next to you. Now, this didn't happen at the corn stand this week, but it could have. We were serving pie all over the place. We must have gone through 100 peanut butter pies, and they were good. Oh, my goodness. So what happens if a cherry pie falls into the lap of your neighbor as you're sitting at a potluck or something? This will help you discover maybe how you're wired. So here's the first way somebody might respond if a cherry pie falls in somebody's lap. And if all of a sudden you get up out of your seat and you grab the nearest Kleenex or napkin you can find and you just start helping to clean up. Immediately you're helping to clean them up, you're standing them up, you're brushing the pie off, you're picking the pie up off the ground. You're doing whatever you can. You probably have the gift of serving. More than likely the gift of serving behind the scenes. You don't need the limelight. You're just there. You want to be a helper. You just like to help. Now, in this case, usually what happens at the house is when the kids spill a glass of milk, I'm kind of like, oh, gee, that stinks. Holy cow. Somebody better do something about that. And Erin's the first one. She just jumps up right out of the seat. She goes, somebody, you know, go get a napkin, go get a towel, go get something, because she kind of has that servant gift. Now, here's the second thing you might want to consider. Let's say you're sitting there and the pie gets dumped in somebody's lap, and your first response is, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry they lost their pie. I'm going to buy them a new one. Now, you don't tell them that. You go to your neighbor over there and you do it anonymously and you say, here's $10. Please get them another pie. So if you do that, you might have the gift of generosity. Now, let me just preface this by saying, if you have the gift of generosity, it doesn't mean that the rest of us are not responsible to give God the first 10% of everything that comes in our life. Okay, sometimes we say, well, I don't have the gift of generosity, therefore I'm scot-free when it comes to putting my money in God's hands. No, we all need to put our money in God's hands. You want to know why? Because we have money problems. Money's the number one issue in our life. You need to come back in November and hear how we're going to work through that too. God's got a new message for us as far as that's concerned. It'll be awesome. But so you might find yourself, you have the gift of generosity because you just want to give and you don't even want the credit. Or maybe number three, you'll just discover the spiritual gift of leadership and administration, because as soon as that pie falls in someone's lap, you're kind of like I do. I say, oh man, that's terrible. Hey, you, go grab a towel. You over there, you get some water. And oh, by the way, go back over to that pie table. You over there, you go grab a new pie and get a dust mop and a broom and a pan. And all of you guys need to figure out how to organize yourselves and pick that up and then we get them a new pie. And so if that's kind of who you are, that's your immediate response. You might find yourself as a leader or maybe even an administrator. Or the fourth kind of gift that Paul talked about would be the gift of encourager. And so if you look at this person, they got a cherry pie that's fallen into their lap, and your first response is when you look at them and say, oh man, I've been there before, and you take a cherry pie and dump it in your own lap. Right? I mean, this person's there, they're just broken up, they're upset, they've just ruined their gown or whatever it might be, or their pants or their shirt, and you're thinking, man, I want to encourage this person, I feel bad for them. And you say, hey man, I've been there before, thunk. Dump a pie in your own lap, and you laugh about it, and you laugh with them, then you might have the gift of encouragement. Maybe you have this fourth gift that Paul will talk about. You feel so bad when you see this pie fall into their lap that you're right there with them. And you're ready to, you just give them a big hug, pie and all. So there's this pie in their lap and you just give up a big hug to them. And you don't care that you got pie all over yourself. And you start singing to them. You start singing about cherry pie or blueberry pie or whatever it might be. And you just sing them a song. That's because you have the gift of empathy and the gift of kindness. And maybe you have this other spiritual gift that Paul's talking about, that when they dumped that pie into their lap, you thought to yourself, oh man, there's got to be a better way to eat pie than that person was eating. So you get on the internet and you research the 7-step method on the better way to eating pie. And if you're there to research the 7-step method on the better way of eating pie, and you teach it to them step by step, you might be a teacher. You might have the gift of teaching. Or there's the sixth gift here that Paul mentions, and this is good. I love this one. You think about this pie that's dumped under their lap, and you were the person sitting there watching them thinking, you know what, they're going to dump that pie in their lap, and they have no idea. I mean, that is the dumbest way I've ever seen to eat pie. What were they thinking? I knew for sure as soon as I saw that they were going to have that pie right in their lap. You knew it was going to turn out bad for them. Then you had the gift of prophecy. You're able to see things happen before other people are able to see things happen. And in that case, you might not have the gift of empathy. You might not have the gift of empathy. But do you kind of understand that illustration? It really does play out. So in your week to come, just process through that. If something like that happens, how do you respond? Or how would you respond? You know, if you look at these things and realize that these aren't just the only spiritual gifts. Some of you are talented at singing. Some of you are talented at playing an instrument. Or some of you are talented at just sharing your faith. Talking about Jesus with other people just comes naturally to you. Whatever your gift is, God wants you to use it to the glory of God in Jesus Christ inside the local church. And not just inside the local church, we'll talk about the next place in just a moment, but here are some examples of some people that are doing that in our church, and they get it. You have people like Kathy and Robin who help out at Hebrews Cafe, and they do hospitality to bless people, to be able to provide beverages and things for them on Sunday morning. And by the way, they're continuing to grow that team, would love to have more people be a part of it. You have someone like Joanne who serves in the office on Sunday mornings, 3 to 4 days a week, working on paperwork or adding up attendance or helping out in any way necessary, help counting money. You have someone like Lindsay and Jackie who serve in the nursery on Sunday morning and a host of other people that work with our young kids and our young people. And you saw those young people out here today. I mean, those folk need us. They need us to be a part of their lives, to be a part of our children's praise ministry and to show up and just all kinds of people that are leading things. You have someone like Alan who leads our junior high teen ministry on Sunday nights. You have someone like a family or two that I have in mind, in the back of my mind, that anytime there's a need for somebody to go on a mission trip, they step up and they help financially if that person has a need. And they don't want to be announced. They don't want to be known as who that is that's giving that money. You have someone like Chad. Chad leads our Shapes class. And our Shapes class is designed to help you figure out what? how you're wired, figure out your personality. Our shapes class helps you figure out your spiritual gifts. So if you're kind of not, you know, if you don't know that pie illustration, you're trying to figure out who you are, you need to sign up for our shapes class. And we have one starting, as a matter of fact, a week from today, next Sunday. But all of these people are serving God. They're using and discovering their gifts, and they're using their strengths and their talents to serve Jesus. Why? Because these are people that understand that what Jesus says. These are people that understands that when Jesus says, I have food that you know nothing of, they know what he's talking about. When Jesus says, I'm filled up by doing the will of God, by serving others, they know what Jesus is talking about. Why are they all fired up and serving and giving? Because they understand that we are the church, that the building is not the church, that they're not spiritual consumers, but they're called to be spiritual contributors. These are people that know that God has called them to make a difference, that God has given them gifts and talents and abilities, and that he wants us actively using them to make a difference in the church. That's why these folk are serving in the capacities and the ways that they serve. And if you decide that you're just not going to do anything in the local church, then there's probably things in our church that are going to go undone, because God is waiting for you to step in and to step up. God is calling every single one of us to be a part of the body of Christ, to be a hand, to be a leg, to be a foot, and to step in and to step up and to be a part of that. And you can do that in multitudes of ways. I've listed a couple of areas. Some other ways are getting involved in our landscape ministry. We just have a brand new team that started and gotten involved in that, and you can still be involved in that. Our media and video team ministry, you know, Andy and Greg, they lead those ministries, and we brought in a consultant for the next couple of months to work with them, and we're going to, and part of that is to work and build our teams. We want to build our media teams and get more people involved in sound and get more people involved in video. You can be a part of that team. Maybe you love computers, or you love working with technology, and we could use you to be a part of that to expand what God's doing here. You could get involved in our visual design team, and Sadie has stepped up and is leading that. You need to get a chance to talk to her. You can write it down in the connection card, but all these poster boards and the sides of the wall, and this whole idea of having people come and put their hands in rolling planes and hanging this up, and that was the brainchild of our visual design team, and they're responsible for the beautification of the inside of our facilities, to set it up so people have a heart and are moved and are ready to worship. And not only for our stage area, but our lobby area too. Maybe you have a gift and a heart for that. Then write it down on the connection card and say, hey, listen, I'd love to get more info or talk to Sadie about being a part of the visual design team. But the bottom line is, nobody sits at the table and eats for free. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? Now, if you're at our house and you sit down for dinner and there's nothing set on the table yet, what's the first thing that gets said to you? Because some of you have this experience. Hey, I need your help setting the table. I mean, nobody at our house sits down to an empty table, right? Think about this for a second. We don't sit down to an empty table. No, everybody is responsible for setting the table, and then we eat. Now, every once in a while, I get myself in trouble because I'll sit down and I'll start eating, and the kids haven't gotten anything to eat yet, and Aaron's still bringing the beans and the peas to the table. And then I just realize, oh my goodness, there's the selfish human nature John Alice kicking in again. It's so easy to do, isn't it? Especially when it comes to food. It's so easy to serve ourselves first and to forget about others second. But God wants us to put others as a priority. And so when I say no one eats at the table for free in that moment, it's because we're all a part of that household. We all belong to that household. And because of that, we take responsibility in making sure that the table's set to feed other people. And that's what God is calling us to do here at Rolling Plains, is that we know that we're part of this household. We're part of this body of Christ. And God is calling us to not sit down and eat until we've contributed also as well, for us to do it together, to serve and to give our spiritual gifts and to give ourselves to the part of the body of Christ. That's what God is calling us to do. So God is calling you to serve in his church, but God is also calling you to serve as his church, to serve as his church. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, the author records Jesus' words. Matthew writes these words, "You are the light of the world," Jesus says. "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And so here's a phrase that I hope you've heard at Rolling Plains Church. We are a church that serves beyond the walls. Have we heard this before here? We are a church that serves beyond the walls. Have you heard that here before? Some of you, yes. Okay. And that's who we are. That's what we want to be. We want to serve beyond the walls. So it's not just about serving in the church. It's about serving beyond the church. So what happens, here's what God says happens, is that when people see our loving work in the world, when they see our commitment to Christ, They see that we're different. They see that we love people, that we care for people beyond these walls, that we're engaged in people's lives, that we're selfless, that we put other people first. Those things aren't normal in our human culture today. And when they see that, they want to know what's going on. They see your good deeds, and because of that, you get to point to God, and it brings Him glory. Now, you need to understand something. You are not saved by good works, but you are saved to do good works. You are not saved by good works, but you are saved for good works. You are saved by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you have faith in Jesus, you're saved. But that doesn't mean that when Jesus enters your life, when you invite Him in and the Holy Spirit's downloaded into your heart, that at that moment, therefore, God has equipped you and has called you to serve in His church and to serve as His church out in the world. And so that's why we might not be saved by works, but we are saved for works. God saves us so that we can do His work in the world. And if we're honest, in the past 7 days, how many people would know that we're different by the way that we have lived? How many people would know that we're different by the people we've engaged and encountered because we're a giving person, a serving person, because we're a listening person or a caring person, or we've engaged in people's needs? You know, these are people that aren't Jesus followers, but they look at your life and they say, I'm intrigued by you because I see what you're about. I see that you're not about you, but you're about serving others. I see it's not about you having it your way. And that draws people in because it's not normal in our culture. And they say, why do you do this? Why do you live this way? And then you get to tell them. You get to tell them because I serve a mighty God. I serve the God of the heavens and God of the earth. His name is the Lord God, and His Son is Jesus Christ. And I am called into a purpose in my life to serve Him and to follow Him and to bring Him glory. I'm called to serve in the church as a ministry, and I'm called to serve as the church out in the world as a mission. And it just changes people's lives because people want to know, why are you living that way? We got some people in our church that do that. They live beyond the walls. We have people like Kay, who pours her heart and soul into the poorest neighborhood of Zanesville in the Putnam area and Bethel Community Center. We got a guy like Gene, who's led, I don't know, 13 or maybe even more umpteen mission trips to Haiti to be a blessing to a people there that just have so little. We have someone like Kathy, who leaves a job here at Rolling Plains Church to go and to do that job over at LifeBridge to counsel women and to do it for free there and not be paid for it and only charge a small fee to be able to do it because she has a heart for the world. She has a heart for reaching women beyond these walls. You have someone like Abri who's raising funds to be able to feed an orphanage of kids in Liberia. You have somebody like Barb and Aguirre who will spend months planning for the corn stand and a week leading the corn stand and then probably a month afterward cleaning up the corn stand and organizing a team of people to do that. Why? Because they want to see the church come out of the building and out into the world and to be a part of the community and serve the public and love on people. This is why people do what they do, and we have these examples everywhere around us. And the challenge in our world today, these are people that get it. They get it that the food and the sustenance that they desire is not a physical food of consuming, but it is the contribution that is their food and sustenance, like Jesus said. And we live in a world in America today, we live in an America that has gotten it backwards. We're in an America today where we look to the government to meet our needs. We look to the government and those kind of organizations to meet the needs of the world when the local church has been the one designated by God to meet the needs of the world. And the problem is the church has not always lived up to being the church. But I'm here to tell you, and I believe this with all my heart. In fact, I've sold my life out to it. I've given my whole life to the local church because I believe that there's nothing like the local church when it's working right. And I also believe that the local church is the hope of the world. A very renowned pastor said that one time. His name is Bill Hybels. That the local church is the hope of the world. Without the local church, what other hope we have? Do we have government? I mean, is the government our hope? I'm not here to talk about Democrat or Republican or Unitarian or whatever you might. I don't care whatever that is, okay? The bottom line is that the government was never designed to care for the needs of the world. God's church was. And the reason why the government has had to step up is because we've stepped out. We've stepped out into ourselves, not out into the world to do God's work. And God is calling us to regain that commitment once again. And when we recognize God's call to be spiritual contributors beyond the walls, when we love people, serve people, and give to people, they start to see that we're different. We're not self-focused. We don't want to have it our way all the time. They see in us the light and the love of Jesus Christ, and they see that we give all the glory to God, and they want to know about this God. And I have a vision, and I know many of you have a vision for this church, for Rolling Plains Church. I have a vision for a church that loves and serves and gives to others so much more than we've been given to, so that it overwhelms people with the love of Jesus, so that it overwhelms people with the care and the concern of Jesus Christ. I have a vision of a church that loves people right where they are, that we are a come as you are church, and that we love people right where they are with His love and with His grace, and a vision of a church where every person in the body sees themselves as a valuable part of it, that no one just comes and consumes and gets filled up, but that each of us uses our gifts and our callings to be spiritual contributors, to serve God by making a difference that lasts for all eternity. You see, when we contribute and when we give, it fills our stomachs with something that a lot of people know nothing about. Now, here's the good news. You can't walk out of here today and say, well, Jesus, you're right. I know nothing about that. Jesus just shared it with you today. I pray that you know what Jesus is talking about now. When He says, I have a food that sustains me and you know nothing about it, you do know today. And you know that it comes by serving and meeting the needs of others, by being empowered by God to be a blessing in this church and beyond these walls. We all recognize that we need God and Jesus Christ, and we all therefore recognize what God and Jesus Christ did. You want to talk about the person who has the greatest right to be the greatest spiritual consumer of all time? It'd be God. I mean, God owes us nothing. He could take everything He wants from us, and He could lord it over Himself. He could hoard it all, but He doesn't. The God of the universe decides not to be a consumer, but He decides to be the greatest contributor of all time. And how did He do that? He showed that to us by His Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins. And if we're called to take on the character of God, then it's only natural that we're sustained and we're fulfilled by our Creator by serving Him in a capacity in the way that His Son, Jesus Christ, served while He was here on earth too. And so hear me today. You know this. Consuming very ever rarely fulfills us. It is contributing and blessing other people that gives us the ultimate fulfillment as we live as a church that serves within these walls in ministry, and we live as a church that serves beyond these walls in mission. A couple of action steps for you and we're done. Number one, take the Shapes class. It starts a week from Sunday, a week from today. It starts next week. Chad's leading that. You can sign up for that in your connection card. Number two, what area of church interests you? What interests you? What do you get excited about? You know, be a part of that. Let God use you in that moment. Number three, identify a need in our community and world that breaks your heart. And maybe there's something out in our community and our world that God is calling you to be a part of. What is that? Number four, and this isn't in your notes, but I'm going to keep going. Number four, talk to Nancy about this mission trip in October that she's leading to South Dakota and see if God is stirring you to be a part of that. And fifth and finally, how might you be called to serve? If you're called to serve, there's a place over here called Spiritual Contributors, and there's one over here as well. Go up there and write down where you're called to serve. Now, you might already be serving. Write that down. Let's write out everywhere we're serving in our church and see what God's saying and doing. But maybe some of you are feeling called to serve, or you're not serving right now, and you have a dream and a vision that God's giving you, or you know in your heart of hearts you're called to do that. Just go over there and write down what that is. You don't have to sign your name. If you want to sign your name, you can. But just write down. Now, let's see all that God is doing in the life of our church, and let's fill those out on our way out after our closing song. But right now, we are going to move into a time of connections to make this stuff sink in and to allow us to figure out what our next step might be.